Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
Power your next journey with True North Convenience Stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can listen to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network all year long. We're celebrating 30 years of the Junkies, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put their team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Jason Bishop this morning. And joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Jay Gruden, former Commanders head coach. What's up, coach?
What's up?
How you guys doing? It's an honor to be on such a legendary show such as the Junkies.
Look at that.
What's going on down in Florida? Is that where you are right now, down in Florida?
Yeah, Atlanta Beach, Florida. Just playing a lot of golf and hitting the beach bars a little bit, having a good time.
Man, sounds like a rough life. Sounds like a rough life.
Somebody's got to do it.
Do you miss being part of a war room?
You know, that was one of my favorite parts of coaching was the, trying to go through all the players and draft and interviews and watching the film and the Senior Bowls and all that stuff. That was, I thought, the most important part of my job was to get the right players in there. And the draft was a major part of that, along with free agency. But, yeah, I love the war room. I love the draft.
During your tenure, not what was the best pick, like the guy who became the best player, but what was your best find? Like kind of steal that you got, player maybe that you loved, some scout told you about him, you took a chance on him and just really worked out.
Oh man, we had a couple that were pretty good. You know, Matt Ioannidis is a pretty good one from Temple. Mm-hmm. We got him in the fifth round. He had a good career, shortened because of his back. He had a good contract at Carolina when he left here. He was a fifth round guy from Temple who not many people knew about. We liked him a lot. We liked Chase Roullier. We got the sixth round from Wyoming, who's starting center for us. His career was shortened a little bit by injury as well, but when you get guys in the fifth and sixth and seventh round that can come in and have an impact on your football team, it's very important. So, you know, hopefully that Washington hit with that Goublin guy from Michigan State in the later round as a center, because he'll compete with the center there. And those guys are important guys to get on your team as far as depth, special teams, and eventual starters.
How often does the head coach kind of disagree with maybe the GM or, you know, head of football ops, whatever the title is, in terms of like that top pick. When it's a first round pick, especially in the top 10, or most of the time, are you always on the same page?
No, you disagree a lot. And I think you're never going to be, when you have two varying different opinions, you know, and nobody thinks the same for sure. And as a head coach, you have different opinions or thoughts on position of need or players who can have an impact on your football team. It differs from your GM, you know, totally.
And then sometimes the owner has an opinion too, right?
Yeah, sometimes the owner comes in off his yacht and makes a pick. You know, you just never know what's going to happen in the war room. But nobody, you know, the most important thing is to take all the information the scouts give you, the GMs give you, the assistant coaches give you. You put it all together and you try to make a pick. And when the pick is made, whether you disagree or not, he's on your team and you got to try to develop him the best way you can.
Coach, does your bias creep in as like an offensive base guy? Like, are you always like kind of pushing for an offensive play? Even if your defense is lacking and you know you need to add to that side, do you always want to push for the offensive guy? How does that work in the draft room?
I actually was the opposite. I always pushed for defense. I always wanted to have a great defense. You know, we won the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we had probably one of the best defenses in the history of the league, and made it a lot easier for the offense. We didn't have to, you know, feel like we had to score every possession. He's got the ball back for us, turnovers, put us in great position to score, and I felt like with my offensive background, I thought I could score, a lot easier than getting stops. You know, it's very frustrating to be a coach on the sidelines and just watch teams run the ball right down your throat and your offense will stand on the sideline looking at you, hey, when are we going to get the ball back? And they're down 21-7 in the first quarter. You know, so you've got to get stops. And I think what Washington did this year with Sonny Styles, I think, was a great step in that direction to get more stops on defense.
All right, so we were talking about receivers' height. How important is that? You know, we were kind of going through our mental Rolodex thinking, you know, when you had the offense really humming with guys like Pierre Garçon, I can't really think of anybody that was overly tall, and Santana Moss and, you know, some of these guys. How big of a factor is height for a wide receiver?
Well, it helps, especially in the red zone. You know, you want your physical big receivers to catch the slant and the underneath balls. You got to have some height. You got to have some size, some physicality about you. But, you know, you can be like a DeSean Jackson, just run a 4.240, run by everybody. That's not a bad style to have either. So, you know, the combination of size and strength and speed is important to a wide receiver. But, you know, sometimes it's hard to find a 6'3", 220-pound receiver that can jump out of the gym. You know, sometimes you have to deal with a 5'10" guy that can run fast. But you have to have traits that you really can develop and use properly at the receiver position, whether it's a big guy working the inside or a little guy working the top of the coverage. So it just varies. Receivers vary. There's a lot of them, a lot of great ones at different sizes and heights and weights and speed.
So when you look at Washington's receiver room now with McLaurin, I'm just going to go through the depth chart based on our lads. So you got McLaurin, Burks, McCaffrey. They went out and got Diami. Still have Jalen Lane, obviously. Draft Antonio Williams, and they signed Van Jefferson. Okay. So out of those, how would you grade that room with those seven guys right now?
Probably not very high. I think, obviously, Terry's a great player, and I think Antonio Williams has some ability in the slot. And I think that was a good pickup by them. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know, Diami is a good veteran guy, and Van Jefferson's a good veteran guy. But they're not really scaring anybody on defense at all. And Burks, you know, he kind of revamped his career. He didn't really start out very good at Tennessee, but he had a pretty good year last year. He's a good red zone target, physical type guy. And Luke really hasn't done anything, and Jalen is kind of a question mark still. Somebody's got to emerge, you know, to go along with Terry on the outside and two receiver sets. Who that's going to be, I don't know. But when you go three receiver sets, I do like the addition of Antonio Williams on the inside because he was really, really effective at Clemson.
Do you see a reason why, I always focus on this guy, why Ben Sinnott hasn't popped more at this point through his NFL career? And it can't be great that the team went out and spent money on Chigakonkwo to bring him in from Tennessee to be another pass-catching tight end option for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I think there's got to be some disappointment with the Ben. Obviously, they've had plenty of looks at him in training camps and OTAs and the last 2 years in practice. So something's missing there. I don't know what it is, but something's glaringly missing because he's had every opportunity to crack the lineup. You know, Zach Ertz was a veteran guy. Obviously, he was there as a veteran to come in, but hopefully develop Ben. And that hasn't happened. I don't know if it's his inability to block consistently at the point of attack or his inability to separate on the second level. So I think he's a pretty good tight end, but I don't know if he's really good at anything. I don't know if he's a really exceptional blocker in line or an exceptional receiver. So they went out and got a pretty good receiving tight end at Chig, and they got John Bates as the blocker. And I think Ben's just kind of like a move tight end that can maybe cut off the backside and do some different things. But I don't think he's the guy they really thought he was going
to
be.
Talking to Coach Jay Gruden, when you look at the rest of the division, what jumps out at you, and how quick do you think the Giants turn this thing around with Harbaugh in charge?
Yeah, I don't know about how, you know, I don't know. I think they've done some good things defensively. They definitely had to address defensive problems, and they got to get Malik Nabers back. That's going to be a big, big piece of their puzzle. So they have a good running game. They, you know, Jackson Dart's got to stay on the field as well. He plays with a reckless abandon that really is dangerous for that franchise. He's got to hone it in a little bit, but he's still a young quarterback. I still think Dallas and Philadelphia are the teams to beat. I think the Giants are going to be still at the bottom of the division with what the Giants did in the draft, getting Caleb Downs, I think, or the Cowboys, what they did in the draft, and getting Dak back and the receiving core that they have. They're going to be a tough team to beat if they can fix their defense.
So where would you slot just based on the roster right now? We have no idea how good or bad some of these guys are going to be. But where would you slot Washington's roster in the division?
Probably third behind
Philly and Dallas.
Yeah, Philly and Dallas. Yeah, and they're up and coming. I think, you know, the running game, you know, has got to get fixed. You know, Rashad White, and you know, they got Jerome Ford, which is pretty good. They drafted this kid from Penn State. I don't know if he's going to be a huge addition or not. But I just worry about the explosiveness of the Washington offense, where the big plays are going to come from, other than Terry. You know, they can put a guy over the top of Terry. They need to find somebody else who can make some plays with the ball in their hands. And that's my biggest concern with them. And then defensively, I think they did a great job getting, obviously, Sonny Styles in the middle of the defense. He's a guy that can play all three downs, which is very rare at linebacker. A lot of times you have the big A and B gap linebacker who can't really run, or the cover linebacker who's not a very good physical player, but he can do both, which is huge for them. You know, they got the internal defense with Settle, Payne, and Ken Lawler pretty good. They got some pass rushers they added. Secondary, I'm a little concerned about. Hopefully, Trey can make major steps in the at corner. Mm-hmm. You know, Will Harris and Santa Stroll are good players. So, you know, defensively is where they got to make the big leap, and offensively, they got to find another guy to make big plays to help out Terry.
How different do you think the offense looks with David Blough? I mean, nobody's seen him run an offense as an offense coordinator, but we expect, I guess, to see Jaden under center more, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, I believe that David will have him under center a little bit more and get to play actions and the bootlegs, and hopefully that'll help with the big playability too. But they have to be able to run the ball. If you're going to be under center, you got to be able to run the ball, which that opens up the big play, the three-level shot throws, the bootlegs, to get Jaden on that perimeter and make some plays with his legs. So, yeah, I think that'll be a welcome addition to the offense, getting him under center, because, you know, that'll open up some of the shot plays.
Coach, how risky is it to have two first-year coordinators on your coaching staff?
Well, I think Dan Quinn will have a lot of say on defense. You know, I don't know if Durante Jones will have a huge impact on what they're doing differently on defense, because I think Dan Quinn's fingerprint will still be on that defense, which he's a very good defensive coordinator, Coach Quinn. That's how he got his job, coaching defense. David, I don't know anything about him, really. You know, so we'll see how he does. Hopefully he has a lot of help internally, with some assistant coaches there that can help them in different phases of the game, whether it's the running game, the red zone, short yardage, goal line, all that stuff. I don't think he can do it all himself, but I think as a staff, they can all come in and help a smooth transition for David. That's going to be key, how he does, how he utilizes Jaden Daniels, and how they protect Jaden. They got to make sure they have a good protection plan, number one, because a lot of times there were some free runners last year, last couple of years, that I wasn't a fan of. They got to make sure they get the protection set down.
Joined by Jay Gruden, former Commanders and Skins head coach. Would you be shocked if they added any of these wideouts that are still floating around in free agency to the mix? Tyreek Hill, Juwan Jennings, Diggs, or Keenan Allen?
No, I wouldn't be shocked at all. You know, I think that Peters has a pretty good idea what Juwan Jennings is. He's a physical guy. You know, if you want to run the ball, this guy will block safeties, he'll block linebackers, he'll block defensive ends, and he's been pretty good receiver as well. Tyreek Hill, obviously, coming off the injury, he's got some issues, but I would definitely check out all four of those guys that you named and try to get another addition to the receiver room. You know, just because I Luke McCaffrey, Burks, and Lane, I think they've kind of, I don't know, Deami Brown. You got to get another guy, I think, to really help out Terry.
Mm-hmm. Now, the counter argument, I've mentioned this before, is 2 years ago when the offense was humming, the receiving core was pretty similar. You had Diami, of course. You had Zacchaeus. You had Noah Brown. So it was kind of Terry and a bunch of role guys. And you had McCaffrey.
Yeah, I was actually, I wish they would have kept Diami. I thought he had a pretty good year. You know, he had a drop against Detroit in a playoff game or a fumble or something like that. But for the most part, he had a pretty good year. And I think he might be the guy that emerges as the guy next to Terry pretty much. I think Burks will probably get some looks. But we'll see how this Antonio Williams. I think Antonio's really relegated to slot. That's what he is. And then Jalen is kind of like he's – I'm not sure if they know if he's an outside guy or an inside guy. He's a punt returner, but so is Antonio. So is Luke. Mm-hmm. So Jalen, Antonio, and Luke are all very similar. I think one of those three have to emerge as a true inside receiver of the three. And then Burks and Diami Brown have to emerge as the outside guy to go along with Terry and Van Jefferson.
Coach, if you were still there in Ashburn, was Sonny Styles a no-brainer at seven, or would you have been okay with a Caleb Downs or maybe even the receiver Jordan Tyson who went right after Sonny from ASU? Was Sonny the guy for you?
Yeah, I think it was between Sonny and Caleb. Caleb is very versatile in what he can do in the back end, which they desperately need as well. But Sonny, like I said before, he's an ex-safety. He's got the rare ability to play the inside zone runs, the power runs, and he can also play the outside toss runs and cover tight ends and cover running backs. And he can rush a passer. His versatility, he runs a 4.46. He's got a 43-inch vertical. I mean, this guy is a freak. And the problem is if you don't take Sonny Styles, if you take Caleb Downs and you need a linebacker, not many linebackers are made like Sonny Styles. So you had to take Sonny Styles. I think you can find a safety that can do some different things. They got Nick Cross, free agent from Indianapolis. And Reeves can do some things, Will Harris. So they have some guys that can play safety, but they don't have anybody that can do with Sonny Styles can do at linebacker, especially since obviously is going to retire probably or
Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner. Yeah, I mean, hey, you're talking about, you know, Jordan Brooks had 189 tackles last year, and he's going to have that type of impact for Washington. Sonny will.
Wow. Hey, going around the league with a few things. Are you convinced that Fernando Mendoza is going to be a hit? And then I'm wondering about your old pal Sean McVay and them drafting Ty Simpson at 13. What'd you make of that?
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I think Fernando's got a long way to go for be a drop back quarterback in the NFL. Really? I think it'll take some time. Yeah, I think it'll take some time. And he's a young kid. He's a big kid, but he's got arm talent. But to play the style of NFL football he's going to have to play, it's going to take some time to learn the protection plans and all that stuff. So, you know, Sean taking the quarterback. You know, a lot of times coaches don't want to take backup quarterbacks. They don't want to take, you know, they have Matthew Stafford. I know they got to prepare for the future, but at 13, I think that was probably a little high, even though I think he's got a good future in front of him. But I know Sean probably would rather had another receiver or a lineman or somebody to protect Stafford or maybe get after the quarterback there. But, you know, he's a good project.
I've never seen a coach have a press conference the next day to defend his demeanor.
Right.
It was really interesting.
Can the coach ever win that battle over the GM?
Not if the GM has say. I think the contracts are written that the GM has total say in the draft. And the coach probably has total say in a 53-man roster. Yes, so that's kind of the way it was when we had Scott McLuhan. And then obviously when Scott left, Bruce kind of had that say in the draft. And you know, I obviously had a lot of input and Sean will have a lot of input, but when it's all said and done, if there's a difference of opinion, the GM typically gets to say.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not saying this is what happened, but if Dan Quinn really wanted Caleb Downs, but Peters wanted Sonny Styles, Peters is winning that.
Peters wins. Yep. 9 times out of 100. Yep.
Right. Hey,
what if the owner comes in?
Yeah.
The owner wins. The guy who writes the checks always wins.
Hey, Coach, real quick before we let you go, what is your thought on the league possibly going to 18? Well, it's eventually going to happen, 18 games.
I'm not a fan of it. Having two bye weeks, all these games overseas, Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Friday games, I think it's becoming a joke. It's hard on these players and coaches to prepare. It's hard to keep players healthy for 16 games. Now it's 17 games. You look at all the injuries around the league. You know, they're going to have to make the rosters bigger. I'm not a fan of it. I think 16 games is the way to go. But obviously they're going to go to 18. And it's all about the money. It's all about the Benjamins. Yeah.
All right, Coach. Always love having you on. That's Coach
Enjoy
Jay
your
Gruden.
Day. Enjoy your day
right,
down
Coach,
there.
Thanks for having me on. Anytime,
yep.
man. Thanks.
Yep.
Coming up next, post-draft, what's your biggest area of concern with the Washington Commanders? Is there a position like cornerback that you're sweating? 1-800-636-1067.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
So Warren Sharp, who covers the league, we've had Warren on the show many times, really good with gambling stuff, advanced numbers stuff. He does the net rest advantage thing that we talk about when the schedule comes out every year, because it has proven to be a real thing. The teams with the least amount of rest over the course of, 18 weeks, 17 games, tend to perform at a worse rate than those with more rest, meaning, a Sunday to Thursday or against an opponent that, is coming off a bye is never a really good rest situation and usually doesn't turn out well for the team. He does this thing every year where he looks at the draft and looks at everybody's class and then compares where they drafted the players to an actual consensus of mock drafts. There are a couple of guys out there. Ben Robinson's one. Arif Hassan is another. They put together these consensus mock drafts where they take a lot of mock drafts. Ben did it with like top 10 guys, but these are in the dozens of mock drafts, and they put together a consensus big board that says, here are all the players that are eligible for the draft, and this is the consensus spot in which the mock drafters believe this player should be selected. And then you actually can measure, a prospect on where he's taken versus where he was supposed to be taken. Now, it's mock draft consensus. This isn't the 32 NFL teams consensus on their boards. So we are talking about those that aren't getting paid to pick the players, but it's one way to measure. There are people that invest a lot of time year round to trying to evaluate these players to the best of their ability. And they take from all of these mock drafts and you end up with kind of something that Warren Sharp refers to
as draft capital over expectation, DCOE. It's a metric, and it measures expected capital used on a prospect versus the actual capital used. All right. Again, where the player was picked versus where the player was supposed to be picked. Well, with Warren Sharp's group of mock drafts that he used off the consensus big boards developed by Ben Robinson and Arif Hassan, Washington had the best overall DCOE of the 32 teams that drafted over the weekend. Draft capital over expectation. And I'll tell you why. Here was the class. All right, ready? Sonny Styles, expected to be picked at number 5. That was his consensus big board number. Was picked at 7. So Washington got 2 spots of value with Sonny Styles. See how this works? Now let's go to the number 1 overall. Washington's 5th round selection of Joshua Josephs, the edge. He was expected to be picked at 77. So somewhere early in the 3rd round, he was picked at number 147. That's a gain of 70 spots. All right, or 70 spots below where he should have been taken, Washington drafted Joshua Josephs. If you believe in this, that's tremendous value. Katron Allen is the running back, as Ben mentioned in his email that I read it in the opening segment of the show. I liked Katron Allen more than I liked Singleton at Penn State. I think Allen's got a chance to be a good runner. I like him. Well, we'll see. You know, I liked Damian Martinez a lot last year before the draft. He's not even in the league. Katron Allen, the running back from Penn State, was selected by Washington in the 6th round at number 187. He was supposed to be picked based on the consensus of all these mock drafters at 130. So they got him 57 spots lower than where he was supposed to go. The center from Michigan State, Matt Gulben, was supposed to be picked at 168. He was picked by Washington at 209. It's a gain of 4. That's 41 spots lower. And it goes on and on. Antonio Williams, the wide receiver from Clemson. I'll tell you, there is a wide receiver I wish they had drafted there. I did not talk a lot about Antonio Williams last week because I actually really liked Zachariah Branch from Georgia. But I know that there were some potential character things. We'll see. But Williams was expected to be taken at 66. All right, which would have been a compensatory pick at the end of the 2nd round, and he was picked instead early in the 3rd round at number 71 by Washington. So, good job. Washington, number 1 in the league. Number 1. They got really good value based on that specific objective criteria. Taking all the big boards and saying, here's where each player is supposed to be picked. Washington got tremendous value based off of a consensus of mock drafters. Now, what does that mean relative to the teams? The 49ers were asked a lot because these consensus big boards are now out there discussed by fans. So you take a team like the 49ers in this draft, they took several players much earlier than they were supposed to go, including their first pick in the draft. DeJuan Stribling, the wide receiver from Ole Miss, he was not supposed to be the first pick in the 2nd round. He was supposed to be more of a late night 2 pick. Kalon Black, the running back from Indiana, was supposed to go late in day 3, not early on night 2. But John Lynch was asked about that, and he said, "Yeah, we don't pay attention to the consensus mock draft boards. We have our own board." And I'm sure a lot of teams have their own boards. I have no idea if you were to take all NFL teams and their boards and their numbers on these players, where they had them, if it would be close to the mock drafters. I don't. I don't have any idea. I would guess that there would be so many outliers among the 32 teams that it wouldn't resemble necessarily the consensus of the mock draft boards. That they're just getting evaluated much differently. And remember, they have so much more information on the personal stuff, on the medical stuff, which the mock drafters generally do not have. And that tends to be a rather important piece of information. Is this guy a terrible person or is he an injured person? Usually the teams know that, and a lot of times the mock drafters don't, which would mean that their boards would be probably different than the consensus of the mock draft boards. But it's one objective way to say, without telling me what you love about the players, because most of you didn't even watch any of these players. Maybe you've watched some highlights since they've actually drafted. I guarantee you, most of you have not watched like all 22s of the players that they selected. But that's a way to evaluate it. So from that standpoint, okay, looks like they didn't reach for really anybody in the draft. The quarterback that they took from Rutgers in the seventh round wasn't actually supposed to get drafted, but in the seventh round, there are a lot of players that weren't supposed to get drafted that end up getting drafted. The seventh round is best player available, but usually best player available for a need. And they view, you know, quarterback as a need. They don't have a third string quarterback necessarily on their roster. And eventually Marcus Mariota is either going to leave or retire. So that, based on that, golf clap. They got some good value. Now let's check back in 3 years to see if they got it right with Sonny Styles. See if they got it right with Antonio Williams. I like Antonio Williams. I'll just say this again for what it's worth. For me, Zachariah Branch is a mini Tyreek Hill. Now, I don't think anybody's Tyreek Hill for real. But if you watched a lot of college football and you watched a lot of Georgia, this dude is electric with the ball in his hands. And I think he was a better route runner, a better receiver over the middle, even though most of his receptions were at the line of scrimmage. But I know that there were some issues, potential, personal issues. They, for all I know, they didn't even have him on their board. A lot of these players that you may say, well, why didn't they draft this guy? Well, we didn't have him on the board because we know something about him that you don't. I liked Ted Hurst. I know Ben talked a lot about him on the show from Georgia State, you know, especially given his size. Where Williams, again, is another primarily inside guy. I'm not saying he can't play on the outside. I do, after watching more of him after he got drafted, I do think that he looks like a polished route runner. And they clearly like a lot about what he brings to the table. You knew they were going to draft a receiver, more likely than not. You knew that there was going to be another edge rusher. You knew there was going to be a center. You know, from a needs standpoint, we'll find out if they got the right players. But from a needs standpoint, they've done a really nice job since the season ended. The last 6 weeks, there has been an emphasis on defense and on filling some of these needs with hopefully better players. We won't know until they start actually playing NFL games. But in terms of like just going down the board, when they were on the clock at 71 on Friday night and I was looking at the receivers that were still out there, I was like, I really love Zachariah Branch. I like Jacoby Lane. Brazel, we'll see. There was some stuff on that. And Ted Hurst was the other one. I had a feeling, just based on how many times Ted Hurst's name was mentioned by Ben and even others, I had a feeling that was going to be the pick. And then it turned out to be a receiver that really we didn't talk a lot about. Doesn't mean we're right. I liked Chris Bell from Louisville. Talked about that last week as a potential pick. When we got to the fifth round, you know, at that point, I'm thinking, I was thinking center, you know, but that guy that our guy Cole Kublik told us about, Brailsford from Alabama, had already gone. He had gone, actually, I think it was the pick right before Washington. If you go to that fourth round, Parker Brailsford, a center from Alabama, last week, for those that missed it, was a player that my guest Cole Kublik from the SEC Network swore was perfect for kind of the offense that Washington was going to employ this year. He said that there were various times this year where he considered center Parker Brailsford to be the best player on Alabama's team, and that he was going to be a major plus. So when Washington got to their pick in the fifth round at 145 overall, was it? 145, 146, somewhere. 147 overall. The pick right before they were on the clock by the Cleveland Browns was Parker Brailsford, that center. So they did not get a chance to get him in that fifth round, if that was the center they were looking for. Now, they eventually got their center. We'll see. You know, it's a sixth-round center. How many times? Not a lot of times, but certainly he appears to be the part. Matt Gulbin does. You know, he was at Wake before he got to Michigan State. Started 34 games over the last 2 years. You know, they love the way he plays with great leverage. They love his IQ. I would expect that that would have been part of the calculus with him, as they think he's smart enough. The pick before that, I will just tell you that I was a Catron Allen fan at Penn State. I liked him more than Singleton. I thought he was a guy that, when you watched him, had the vision, had the burst. He had some really, really good games for Penn State over the last couple of years. And I'm looking at the one game that he finished up with. I think it was Rutgers, the season finale. Yeah, here it is. Rutgers season finale, 22 for 226, a touchdown, 10.3 yards per carry. That really upped his overall average. But his last three games at Penn State, and Penn State, you know, they had that meltdown and the overtime loss to Oregon, which changed their whole season. You know, they were undefeated. They played that Oregon game early October, late September, in Happy Valley, one of the games of the year. It goes to double overtime. They came back. They rallied to force that overtime, and Drew Aller threw the pick, you know, on their possession. I can't believe Drew Aller got picked that high. I mean, again, what do we know? Nothing. But, God, he was an unimpressive college quarterback at Penn State. He went to Pittsburgh on night two. But Allen finished the season, you know, after their season imploded, you know, following that Oregon loss. After their season imploded and Franklin got fired, etc., his last three games, Michigan State on the road, 25 carries, 181 yards, 2 touchdowns. Nebraska, and in a win. Nebraska in Happy Valley, a win. 25 for 160. And his final game against Rutgers, 22 for 126. That's 72 carries for 545, 60 for 567 yards and 5 touchdowns in 3 games. That's Riggo playoff-esque kind of running. Really, really good vision for Catron Allen with some burst and some breakaway ability. I liked him more than Singleton. The one thing that he was not in Singleton was a pass catcher out of the backfield. It doesn't mean that he can't do it. He just didn't do it. Singleton was more that back for Penn State. I think that's my memory of it. I want to see what Singleton had receptions-wise for the season. Because Allen was much more the runner. Yeah. I mean, he had 41 catches, Singleton did, as in 24. Had 24 catches this year, but Allen was not the screen back, was not the third down, you know, check down back. They ran stuff for Singleton out of the backfield as a pass catcher. That's not what they did with Catron Allen. Allen, though, is a good runner. Again, 3 years, I can give you a grade. I can't give you a grade today. I don't like doing that. It's just, it goes against everything. And I know that everybody's doing it today, but I do think maybe there's some value, at least in something quantitative versus qualitative, in comparing it to where these players were supposed to go based on mock drafts. At which, by the way, these mock drafts are all about subjectivity. I didn't mind that. Now, do I have a favorite? I like the pick of Sonny Styles. I feel like that's a good pick for Washington. I do like Catron Allen. I like that pick. I have no idea if this is their center or if it's going to be Nick Allegretti. You know, we'll start to know on some of these players and their chance to contribute early by the time we get through kind of, you know, the first part of the summer pre-training camp. We'll hear some things. You know, people will hear something about, you know, man, it's going to be hard to keep, you know, it's going to be hard to keep Williams off the field. He's actually as good as anybody not named Terry. Let's hope we start hearing things like that. But again, that sometimes is misleading as well. You know, and certainly the preseason game results are completely misleading. They don't mean anything. What happens in practice, what you hear coaches say about these players is typically much more meaningful. But man, overall, this offseason, in terms of what the goals, you know, again, I think we were all in agreement, but not everybody was, but I thought defense, 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 and that was free agency, and then they added in their first three picks two more defensive players. Joshua Joseph has some length to him, looks like he's got some ability. And then, you know, the wide receiver, they added the one I don't think any of you were expecting it to be Antonio Williams, but I think Brandon Ayuk's going to be a part of this attack by the time we get to the regular season opener. It'd be nice to figure out how we can get him sooner rather than later, but not via a trade. You know, I continue to see these reports that the 49ers are still holding out hope, and now that we're done with the draft, still holding out hope that they can get something. No one should trade for his current contract. The contract needs to be ripped up, and it should be a one-year prove-it deal with not, you know, veteran minimum guarantee, because somebody's going to give him much more than the veteran minimum guarantee, but it shouldn't exceed $7, $8, $9 million. And the rest of it is a total prove it deal. And then let's see what happens. But you got to be in position where if you find out that A, he can't do it anymore physically because the injury really did impact his career, or B, he's a total wingnut and you don't want him in your building, you got to be able to move on from him with no cost, no lasting impacts. And I'm sure that they will put themselves into that position. You know, is it possible that the 49ers could say, work out a contract and then send us a seventh, send us next year's sixth, and we'll send you next year's seventh if you work out a new contract with him, if he rips up the current one? Yes, but again, you got to be careful. If you're trading for him, you're trading for his current contract, which is $27 million, and then $28 million the following year. I just can't see anybody doing that. All right, Sean Springs is going to join us at 11. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Give me the pick that you wished they had made this weekend. No grades, no winners, losers, no thumbs up, no thumbs down. Give me the player that you wish they had taken. Somebody that going into this thing you were a big fan of that they didn't take. And if you want to just quickly mention a player or two that they did take and something you like about him or don't like, that's fine too. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Springtime's the perfect time to turn the page and refresh your home style. The only problem? It can be expensive. Luckily, there's a better way to shop well-worthy pieces for less at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's negotiates with manufacturers to get you the best everyday low prices, giving the shopping power back to you. The power to get more style, comfort, and quality for less on amazing pieces like stylish mid-century dining sets made for hosting those big spring brunches, pop-up sleeper sectionals with all the bells and whistles so you can turn any room into a guest room, and next-level Bobopedic mattresses so you can get a great night's rest after you've finished redecorating every room. So, when you're ready to spring into new style, stop into your nearest store or shop online and see how you can get wow-worthy style for less with Bob's Discount Furniture.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up.
Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
You know, our work is very public, right? like we're literally on the air for 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
So people hear things. And they're now running promos for the Memorial Day thing down at the beach, right? The Junkies are going to be live from Starboard in the morning. Then we'll come on after that. So we'll have live 106.7 The Fan programming from Starboard and Dewey Beach on the Friday of Memorial Day weekend.
That's going to be interesting.
It should be bumping. I've actually done this a couple times up there just with Monty without like the full setup. And it really starts to crank. Like, by the time, now it might be different now that we're promoting it. And a lot of folks will know we're going to be there. Maybe people get there at 6 a.m. for the Junks. But it's going to get going. I hadn't mentioned that to
Lord. What time are you getting there?
I'm going to go Thursday night. I assume they're getting us hotels.
Yeah, we're going Thursday night.
Right.
But I would not be going that morning.
I hadn't mentioned that to Lauren yet.
Uh-huh.
And she just texted me, wait, when are you live in Dewey? LOL. I just heard the end of that conversation. So, sweetheart, I got to go to Dewey for work. Sorry.
Yeah. what JP said.
I also, I want to shout out City Lights. In the era of Uber Eats and DoorDash, and there's probably other services that I don't even know the names of. Like when I was a kid, there were two places that delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Pizza places and Chinese food.
Yeah.
Now, most pizza places still deliver. I had a Paisano's feast at my in-laws yesterday. Thank you to Paisano's of Germantown. Great food. So pizza places still deliver. But more and more, everybody relies on DoorDash or Uber Eats. And, like, the fees and everything is just significant.
It's astronomical.
City Lights is my spot. It's an old-school little Chinese restaurant in Bethesda. We've had a lot of moving parts at my house. Nobody's really been cooking lately because we're just on the road, just on the move constantly. So for $40 at City Lights, I got a thing of Kung Pao and a thing of Mushu Pork and a singular egg roll. And I give my man $50 cash, American currency, because my man delivers it. I don't know his name. Very friendly fella. Always smiles. There's not a lot of language between the two of us. I think he speaks the old world language where he's from and cooks Kung Pao, and I speak English, but I love that guy. For $50, though, of Chinese food, I don't even eat the rice. I just throw the rice away. Dog, it's like I get 4 or 5 meals out of that. You know what I mean? Like, I eat the egg roll immediately. I probably have the egg roll and a little bit of chicken. Then the next day I have lunch. Today I have lunch. That's value, baby.
Yeah.
Shout out to City Lights.
Where you go, City Lights?
Now, I want to get back to this phone.
Remember the Uber Eats? You probably would have got half a meal because the rest of it would have been all the damn fees.
Dog, you want to hear a terrible story? So obviously, I mentioned earlier, we tragically lost my father-in-law last week. One of Lauren's the oldest of four sisters. One of the sisters is an accountant, and her firm sent like a feast to the family house, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say the company, but it's a company that I love their food.
Mm-hmm.
I had to leave to go pick up my daughters maybe while they were waiting on the food. And then by the time I got back, the food still wasn't there. And this was a very delicate moment in the house. So like the sisters were all kind of together and the brother-in-laws were like circulating around outside.
Trying to help out.
Trying to help and really just keep the kids occupied. And I said to my brother-in-law, I was like, dude, where's the food? He's like, man, you won't believe it. I'm like, what? The Uber Eats dude stole it.
Really?
Some dude went to the place, picked up a feast, stole it. Yo, enough food for an army.
That happened to me.
They took it home?
They just were MIA. So then the place sent their own guy to deliver it again because they felt so bad. That happened to you, Luigi?
So my question is, do they know who the Uber Eats guy was? Because he should not be a Uber Eats guy any damn more.
I don't know. What happened to you?
So I was here. I was on a Saturday with producing Saban.
Oh, I was listening that day. You were waiting on Taco Bell or something?
Yeah, I was. The guy pulled up to our office and then drove away. And then texted me, oh, I had something wrong with my previous order. And then he canceled.
That happened to us, you remember, in New Orleans.
Yeah, with the catfish.
Yeah, I ordered 3 platters and we never got them.
All right, don't hate me.
You've done this, Jeff?
Bro.
Jeff is the person who stole it.
No, bro. They wanted me to drive to Waldorf for $4 on Uber Eats. I called the dude. I said, hey, look, I'm not trying to take your food, but I'm not coming all the way out there for $4. And he said, all right, don't worry about it. I didn't even think I ordered it from all the way out there, and I just kept the food.
Jeff, I love you. I'm so confused by this story. Were you driving for Uber Eats?
Yeah, I was driving for Uber Eats at one point. They tried to make me go to Waldorf for $4, and I was like, no, and I just kept the food.
Good for you.
Well, the guy told you to keep it, so it's not like you did nothing wrong.
Waldorf's what, an hour? Waldorf's far.
It's not that far. It's not an hour. About 40 minutes, 35, okay. Depending on who's driving.
All right, that was a good Uber Eats discussion. I have a funny story that I'm not going to say on air, but I have an even better one. Our guy Toothpick's been on hold a while. Pick, what up? What'd you think of the draft?
Hey, what's good, JP? Thanks for taking my call. B. Mitch, you know, I reached out to you about Monty.
Yeah.
First off, man, JP, I got to say, man, our fan base is really, really confusing sometimes. They want the team to get better, but they don't want no competition for their favorite players, right?
That's what it sounds like. So,
it's confusing to me. Do you want us to get better, or do you just want your favorite player to pile up stats? You know, so me, I'm really, really interested in Williams, the wide receiver from Clemson. I think he is going to make that run better. I think it puts Luke McCaffrey on notice that, hey, you've been here for 3 years. It puts Jalen Lane on notice because this guy can return punts as well. And B, you always say, man, the more you can do, the longer you'll stay. So if you can be a successful wide receiver and return punts, you're a weapon then.
There you go.
So you guys better get better. You better get better. Thanks for taking my call, man. But competition makes your team better. So don't be afraid to have your favorite player compete.
Thank you,
Appreciate y'all.
Good call, buddy. For sure. Competition is what it's all about, dude. The NFL's a meritocracy, man. Reggie is in D.C. What's up, Reg?
What's up, fellas? Man, sometimes, our fans, his previous caller just said it, they drive me crazy. So the guy, I think 2 calls ago, was talking about he was afraid of our secondary. Okay. I don't know if he watches football, and I'm assuming he does. Do you know why Stingley is a great cornerback, and I think Reed is the other cornerback? Yeah, because they got Will freaking Anderson and Hunter combined for 25 sacks. You know why Patrick Surtain is a beast? Because you got Nick Benito, the one who blocked freaking Mariota in that 2-point conversion that we would have scored easily on. Yeah, because you got a stud like him. I don't care if you have, and B. Mitch, he knows this because he freaking played at the highest level as a champion. If you don't have anybody up front, it don't make a difference who you got on the back end. You can have Deion. You can have Darryl Green. You can't run around chasing wide receivers for 4 to 5 seconds. So our secondary is going to be so much better because we got like 7 dudes that can rush the passer. Like, so, I mean, I'm – you look at our, and I think B. Mitch said this because I said this previously, you can't separate the draft from free agency. They go hand in hand. So when you look at bringing in a Nick Cross, who's like a box safety, when you look at Amik Robinson, who's a dog competitor, when you look at Sonny Styles, who has the physical ability to kind of play in that safety space, then you look at what we've done up front as a defensive pass rushing unit, you have absolutely no choice but to be ecstatic. Now I'm looking at Durante Jones. I need for you all these chests. I mean, he should be sitting at home right now crying every day just thanking the good Lord that we put all the resources. We only put a little sprinkle on offense, but we gave this dude, I know if I'm Bilal, I would feel like, you know, I guess I got to feel like the older brother, because, you know, you got to get a baby all the toys, and they get the cereal, the good cereal, they get the toys, you know, like you got to get them the extra piece of cake when you want it. Man, if I'm blind, I'm happy, but I got a little side-eye look, because I know Durante got all the fresh toys this offseason. But as a fan, man, you got to be happy with what we did, man. Love the show, man. Appreciate all y'all do, man. I love listening to y'all.
Thanks, Reggie. The only difference I would say about Blau looking at Durante get the toys, like, if we're making a Christmas morning comparison, Durante may have gotten the inventory. He may have gotten more toys, but Blau still has the best toy. Blau's got a bike, and everybody else got, like...
Jaden got the... I mean, Blau got the pony.
Right, yeah. Whatever the one seed of toys is.
This went unnoticed for a lot of stuff. Grenard going to the Eagles.
Pair of third rounders.
Yeah.
Eagles gonna eagle.
Yes, indeed. I mean, damn Howie Roseman, boy.
The Mekhi Lemon pick at 20. Like that a lot.
They told the Steelers, nah, not so fast.
Yeah, that was tough. That was a tough look. Let's go to Sam. Sam, what up?
What's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. What's up?
Thanks for taking my call. Sorry about Monty, everybody, and JP, I'm sorry about the loss in your family as well.
Thanks, bro.
But I'm going to ask this question, and I'll hang up real quick. Moody was 11 for 12 for us last year, but he kicked in situations that weren't really that tense. Do you see them bringing in more competition, or are they going to coddle the kicker just so he doesn't get his ruffles feathers in practice? Because I think if you can't handle competition in practice, how can you handle a game-winning kick? I'll hang up and let you guys answer. Thanks for taking my call.
You say he was 11 or 12?
It's a fair question, Sam.
I think he was 11 or 12.
Yeah.
You're not going to bring a guy in every year. I mean, kickers, sometimes you want to see other positions.
I'd like to see another kicker.
I mean, I like seeing competition, but I don't think you don't force that. You don't have to go draft one. You can bring one in as a free agent later on.
Fine. They didn't draft one. I wouldn't have minded that. I would like to see another kicker when we get to camp in late July. Period. Like, they have struggled at that position for so long, and I just don't know. Yes, Moody made the kicks, but one, you don't have the distance there. Two, it was dicey every time he was going back there. I this is just me saying it, would very much believe they need to bring in competition for Jake Moody in camp. And hopefully he's up to it and wins out, and then you're all good. But the amount of kickers they've had on the roster over the last few seasons is just tremendous turnover. So I would be looking under every rock. Mm-hmm. To try to find the guy I think is the guy going forward. Last year, they thought they had it answered in Matt Gay. Matt Gay, awesome dude, too sporadic. He got released after Miami, right? After the Madrid game.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had Moody come in. He did go 10 of 11 on extra points, 10 of 11 on field goals. It was all pretty good. It was also very much low stakes when he was making those kicks.
I think that's a position that, you know, it's weird. You get one in the camp, and you think you got one that's okay, you go with it. The other positions that they're improving upon right now is way more important than that right now at this point.
If you're on hold, stay there. We're going to keep the phones going until 1 o'clock. Warren Sharp will join the program.
Right? I think that's what it is.
I think so.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to put him back on hold. Let him continue.
I'm going to say sleep, and I hope it's not something else.
That's what I'm going to go with.
I think it's sleep. We're going to let him sleep. Continue his nap. If you want to check in on him, Tobes, you do that on your own time.
Maybe don't interrupt.
In the meantime, we're going to keep the show moving. Shane's in Fairfax. Hello, Shane. How are you?
Commander Denny, Lieutenant Grant, how you boys doing today?
Hey, buddy.
Doing well. You're our first caller we've gone to today who's awake.
I know, right? How can I top that, right?
I think just by talking. Yeah, I think that'll do it.
Don't even try.
I think you're right.
I think sharing your opinion with us, we'll go ahead and put you at the top of the race.
The question is a good way to do it.
Put you in the one seed there.
The you know how I feel on Joshua Joseph. I think that's the steal of the draft. I think his length is going to be something that's going to be a something to reckon with. He's explosive off the edge. He's a great in the locker room. And you know what? He's going to play. He can play every down. He can stop the run and he can play in pass coverage. That's the steal of the draft. That is right now. I wish that we could have got I know you're going to hate this when I say this, but you had the Raiders got a hell of a draft pick in McCoy. Watch and see. I feel sorry for him from what he's got to go through. He may have to redshirt again, but they're going to end up having a great football player, Adam McCoy, and I wish the best for him. But, you know, we could have got Brazel, try to move up and get him a receiver. I think he was the best receiver at that position, but not because he's from Tennessee. But if you look at his size and speed, what, a 4'3 guy, 6'4", 6'5".
He was right at the top of my list.
It's central casting for what I'm looking for this team right now.
Exactly.
Now, can he get off press coverage? I don't know right now. That's not something he did a ton of it at Tennessee, and you'll probably have to at the next level. But there's my starter kit right there. Big, tall, fast, long strides, goes deep. Yep, I need that, and I need it right now.
Jermod McCoy, watching him slide down the board was heartbreaking. I mean, that is gut-wrenching. You just can't imagine what the kid's going through. There were people that thought he was going in the top 15, top 20 until the final week of the season. In fact, one of my bold predictions on Take Command with Logan, like a week before the draft, was he would fall out of the first round. And we're sitting there debating if there's a path for that. He goes 101 in the fourth round. And for people that don't know, he had a torn ACL. So he didn't do a whole lot pre-draft. He ended up running and, you know, putting together enough of a body of work, I thought, that it might salvage and save him. But the word got out during the draft that the procedure that he needs to have, like some kind of a plug or something in his knee where if it doesn't take, it could be the end of your career before it starts. Like, that's awful, man. I feel so bad for the kid. But the Raiders, assuming it works, assuming that the procedure goes smoothly, he's healthy and he can play in the league, that's a massive steal. That's the second best corner in America coming out in this class, according to most people, if healthy.
Yeah, there's and
they got him outside of the top 100.
There's a line of demarcation where it's worth the risk. If that fourth rounder doesn't make your team, I'm trying to remember the name of the running back. I was looking it up, and I couldn't pull it. Was it Bryce Love from Stanford?
From Washington?
That Washington took years ago? Right around that same amount of time, right? That same view where you go, this guy's too talented. We should just try. And if it doesn't work, no one will remember that it cost us a fourth rounder or fifth rounder. You can't do it in the first or the second. But at that point, now you're throwing stuff at the wall where the upside's too great to pass.
Let's go to Jay in L.A. listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, guys? What I like most is that, you know, I think the draft felt finally intentional on the line. Like, taking Sonny Styles obviously kind of falls in line with the tone that they're trying to set with the revamped defense, you know, the speed, versatility, and all that. So it feels like we're actually building a defensive identity. But what I like least, honestly, it isn't even their fault, but I hate not having that second-round pick. Because usually that's where you can grab like a real impact player. And I understand that most of the guys we added on, you know, we added four picks on offense. So I know we try to address it, but there's not a clear piece that changes how defenses will prepare for you or takes any pressure off of Jaden. And so I understand defense was the priority, but I just keep wondering if this is a rebuild and they're not saying it to us, or if they expect us to have a roster that can compete sooner than we actually believe.
I don't think it's a rebuild. I don't think they have that luxury after losing double-digit games last year. Nothing about their free agency suggested that. They were one of the most aggressive teams for the first time under Adam Peters in terms of cash flow spent over the first 2 to 3 days of free agency, if you look at some of the contracts that they doled out. I think they would push back on the idea that they didn't get anything that takes pressure off Jaden Daniels. They like Antonio Williams a lot. Now, we're going to see. They're going to be right or they're going to be wrong. They loved Ben Sinnott. So far, that was wrong. You know, there have been other guys that they drafted early, that Johnny Newton, they loved him.
Yep.
They have not been right about Johnny Newton. Doesn't mean you're always going to be right, but they think Antonio Williams is an instant impact, slot receiving, who can move outside, quality option underneath in the David Blau offense. I don't think the expectation is that he's a project like we've seen Luke McCaffrey or Jalen Lane turn into. And someone could say, well, they like those guys too, and they did. But this is an earlier draft pick. Luke, we call him a third rounder in air quotes. I think he was picked at like 100.
I think
he
was exactly pick 100, yeah.
That's literally like a round after Antonio Williams, who was also a third rounder, but was at 71. So it's just a different pool of talent, a different class of athlete, essentially, that you're dipping into when you're talking about taking a receiver at 70. You know, that's Terry McLaurin range. The last time they got a receiver there, McLaurin, the number 76 sticks out in my head. I'd have to look it up, but I think he was right around there. You see what he's become for them. So between a slot receiver who might start week one, September 8th or whatever, and a running back who I think will get carries in week one. I mean, there's no reason to believe Ka'Tron Allen, as the camp goes on, as the preseason goes on, you start tackling. He's not going to impress you on OTAs, I swear to that. He's not going to impress you when they're just jogging around without pads on to start training camp. But by the end of training camp, and when you're playing games and you start to actually hit and tackle, that's when he's going to start to separate himself a little bit. I think he's going to play for them this year. So they think of the four players that they drafted that might get on the field, two of them helped Jaden Daniels a lot.
That's the thought process. And again, you're looking at it in terms of Allen. It's not just that he's a thumper, the pass pro grade, which tells you that some of that play action on first down, some of those early down throws, which he will be on the field for. They've got third down backs. Whether you want to say it's Rashad White, whether it's Jerome Ford, I don't know. That's not going to be his role. But the fact is, he will be on the field at the same time as Daniels. Pass pro, that's to me direct help. I don't know how much of a pass catcher he is. I don't think much, to be honest with you. Don't care about that.
It's also not the same thing, but we don't do a good enough job as an industry, I don't think, talking about how much the defense helps the quarterback too. And the complementary element of football. I know sometimes you'll push back on me on this, but it's a big deal if your defense isn't terrible and your defense is actually able to get off the field and help you with time of possession and you don't have to score 30 points a week to win. So you know what you can really do to help a good young quarterback? Ask Drake May in New England last year as they made a Super Bowl run as their defense dragged them through the playoffs. Ask the Seattle Seahawks with Sam Darnold, who were kind of defensive first last season.
Bo Nix at times in Denver.
Yeah, take pressure off that guy by having a much better defense. And when you go out and 10 of the 13 players that are going to play a lot for you that you sign in free agency are defensive-minded, and then you spend two of your top three draft picks on the defense, and you bring in a sought-after defensive coordinating option who's going to run one of the most popular schemes in the league, you should be a lot better on defense. Let's go to Stu in Manassas on G&D. What's up, Stu?
Hey, guys. Hope Mark's okay. A few callers back. It didn't sound too good. Crazy thing, they didn't do anything crazy at the beginning of the draft. They hung in there, got their guy at seven. Same answer for later in the draft. I wish they would have did something crazy, maybe tried to move up into two to get a better wide receiver. But anyway, all in all, I'm happy with the draft.
Appreciate you, dude. I just always think also, when I say I wish there were more trades, to his point about moving up, I don't know where the opportunity would have been. Again, I don't know if they're burning up the phone lines, but how much would it have cost, for the sake of argument, to go up 30 picks, roughly, to take Denzel Boston, which Cleveland did at 39 overall? That currency probably would have been worth it to me to do that. Now, if you're moving up 10, 12 spots, end of round two, kind of glorified where two and three sort of meet, and they're in a seedy motel room, there wasn't a receiver that kind of went in that range. The closest was Jeremy Bernard, who goes at 47 to Pittsburgh. Again, I think that would have cost a lot to move up 24 spots. Yeah. I don't necessarily want them to do that.
No.
Right?
In fact, I actually think the way the receiver situation played out made it unnecessary for them to trade up. What I would love to see or have known going in a world where the receivers start coming off the board, so Williams and Fields and a couple of those other guys that went in the 70s,
yep,
went in the 50 to 70 range, because watching it and live kind of tweeting this thing, I was like, this is going perfect for the Commanders. All the guys we talked about all day are still here, and then they took Williams, who we talked a lot less about. But the point was they had the pick of the litter, so to speak, because the receivers kept getting pushed down and down and down. And that was in a draft that was pretty unpredictable and where we got a lot wrong, I would imagine, in terms of going back and looking at all the predictions we made. The one thing we were all over that I've been talking about for several weeks, you're going to get a receiver that you want at 71. You're going to have your choice between, yep. I thought it might be Hurst versus Fields versus, you know, you could go through some other names. The one that was crazy to me was DeJon Stribling. who I had really fallen in love with closer to the draft, like everybody else, had crazy helium. But I thought he would be in that 50 to 75 range, too. He went 33 overall to the San Francisco 49ers. I still don't know why or how that was a thing. But for the most part, the receivers went later than expected. And it really helped them to not have to trade up. In round one, there was no reason to trade up. Right. They ended up getting the guy they probably would have taken at five. I mean, I really believe that. I think Sonny Styles was the defender, other than the edges, that they wanted. So maybe you would have taken Arvel Reese at five over Sonny Styles, I guess. I've never really considered that as a possibility because I never thought he would be there. But why trade up if you're getting the dude that you went to bed hoping would be there when you were picking? So the trade-up would have had to have been it from 71. We just don't know if Williams was at the top of their board or if there was a guy they could have gone and gotten. I just think because of who went in the 55 to 70 range,
right,
that's probably not any of the players that they would have taken.
And not having a fourth, and again, it becomes complicated. The only way you could have moved up to me is if you were willing to part with a player. And I don't know how many, A, are enticing for other teams, B, would have netted you enough, right? I mean, I'm just sick of arguing. Let's say you'd package Daron Payne, been willing to eat some of the salary somehow. The inheriting team still has a big cap thing to deal with.
To go up 20 picks? Do you like the difference in receiver that much?
This is the question.
To lose what is, I know everyone's disappointed with his year last year and how things have gone since you paid him, but he's still a good football player. One of your best defensive players over the last couple seasons. You're trading him, eating salary to do it, for a pick swap, basically?
And that's kind of my point. I don't see that. I think that's one of those, we'll hang up the phone as soon as that's offered.
Let's go to Gary in Fredericksburg. Something from the draft that you really liked and something you didn't.
Power your next journey with True North convenience stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.